is time for children's church. So any of the kiddos that want to go out for children's church. Now for all you big kids, if you would take your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to detour from the book of Romans this morning, and we're going to look together at what happens when the Spirit of God begins to come and begins to work and move and people getting saved. And, you know, we've seen some of that. We've seen some folks come into Christ, and it's awesome. It's exciting. It's a blessing. But that's not the end. God saves us for a purpose. He puts us in a body of believers so that we can grow and we can become mature in Christ. We can grow up in the Lord. Amen? And we're all at a little different level of maturity and of growth, or of immaturity and lack of growth. But we all have some growing we need to do. So we're all alike in that respect. If you know Christ, you're born into the family of God. You don't come into the family of God full grown. Okay? And the mamas here would say, you know, babies don't come full grown. Amen. It's hard enough when they're 7 or 8 pounds. We're born into the family of God as babies, and then we have to grow. And so we need the Word of God. We need worship. We need to be plugged into the body of Christ and be a part of a church family and getting hearing from God in our own daily quiet time. But there's some things that happen when folks begin to come to Christ and began to get saved. There's some neat things that come. And so we're going to look at an example of that this morning in the book of Acts, the second chapter, and verse 41. And just to remind you of the context here, this is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has just been poured out on 120 believers who'd gathered in prayer. They were united in heart and mind. They were of one accord. And God has just poured out the Holy Spirit, and they had begun to share the gospel, even speaking to people with other tongues. They were sharing the gospel in languages that they didn't even know themselves. And God was enabling them and allowing them to do that. And it was a marvelous work. And people were hearing the gospel of Christ, and they were being saved. We're just going to pick it up right about where Peter leaves off. So verse 41, and if you found your place, would you stand, please, in honor of the reading of God's holy word. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Word of God. I pray this morning You would bring the light of Your truth into our hearts and minds, and give us grace to understand and receive and just get what You're saying for us today. And Lord, teach us and lead us and grow us, and help us to become more like Jesus today. And Father, if there's even one today who doesn't know You, in a personal way, have a relationship with You, Jesus. I pray that You will speak to their heart and draw them to Yourself. And I pray You'll help them to receive You today and be saved. Thank You, Lord, for all You do, how we praise You and thank You. Now, Lord, as a family of believers, we want to lift up Jeroma this morning. Father, would You touch her and bless her? And would You meet the need that she has? Give the doctors wisdom and skill and understanding. And we just ask for healing there. And we pray as well for Mary Ann. We ask You to touch her and bless her and strengthen her and heal her. And we thank You for this now in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, so here's what we want to see. Peter just got up and preached a powerful message about that people were to turn to Christ. And boy, he didn't mince words. He didn't beat around the bush. He laid it on them. And boy, the Holy Spirit was just moving and working that day. And it says that they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "What shall we do?" And he told them that they needed to repent and they needed to turn to Christ. And so, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized." Now, I don't know about you, but baptizing 3,000 folks would be a pretty big job. And I think I baptized 19 one time in one service is the most I ever remember. And it was, I was pretty well wore out, Clinton. But that's fantastic. But 3,000 people responded, were saved that day. Well, folks, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit works. You know, what happens when we work? Is little and nothing. But when the Holy Spirit works, He draws people to Christ. He touches hearts. He changes minds and changes attitudes and helps us to turn to Christ. So thank God for that. And He still works like that. You know, we don't often see 3,000 in a day, but certainly we do see sometimes that many saved. And it's a blessing to see one come to Christ in a day. But, you know, they that gladly received His word were baptized. And so 3,000 souls. Well, so let's look then at what happens here. When folks get saved, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And this shouldn't be the exception. This should be the norm. This should be what happens when people get saved. Well, the first thing that we see here is that these folks had a love for God's Word. Look at verse 42. It says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." They continued steadfastly. They were focused on, they were devoted to hearing the Word of God as the apostles preached it. And folks, you know, you can't miss the fact that in this passage, the apostles play a very significant role. You know, it was through them that the Lord was delivering the message and was authenticating it with the signs and wonders, with miracles, with things that the apostles were able to do. And it was God's way of placing His stamp of approval on the gospel and saying, "This is true. This is real. This is Me at work here." So that people would know. There would be no mistaking it. Well, so they continued steadfastly. Well, I want to just suggest to you, when you get saved, one of the things that's going to happen in your heart is that you're going to want to hear from God. You're going to want to hear from God. Now, I understand that sometimes as believers, there can be times when we really don't want to hear from God. And mostly that's when we're not right. Amen. You know, when we're not right, that's when we really don't want that preacher to stand up there, you know, and start stomping on our toes and, you know, working us over. Well, but there's something that happens in a person. You see, we look at salvation sometimes as simply a prayer we pray a decision we make. But there is so much more to salvation than that. Yet we turn to the Lord, we repent of our sins, and we believe in Christ. But the Spirit of God comes in, and He begins to work on our hearts and change us. And thank the Lord He does. Yeah, it's good. You know, I've been around some folks, being around Chris this weekend down at the marriage retreat. Just reminded me how glad I am that boy got saved. He'd be a mess without the Lord. And Brother Ronnie, I mean, Brother Ronnie would be, I don't even know. I think he'd probably tell you he wouldn't be alive if he hadn't come to Christ. But thank God. You know, when the Lord comes in, He does a sweet work. I've seen little children come during vacation Bible school or whatever time and talk to me about being saved. I mean, I've seen little guys, 7, 8 years old. And I'd start to talk to them about why they needed to be saved. And I'd see tears well up in their eyes. And they'd tell about how they needed to be saved from their sin. I'm thinking, what sin could you have done, you know? But man, it's killing them. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us and He draws us and then He changes us. So that our whole approach is different. And we're gonna have some different things that we're gonna be focusing on. So when you get saved, number one, you're gonna love the Word. You're gonna wanna be hearing the Word of God. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but there is on 88.9 now there's the Bot Radio Network has a bunch of really solid Bible preaching programs. I mean, Adrian Rogers and David Jeremiah and good stuff. I encourage you. You know, I mean, and with anything, you listen with discernment. But man, there's some good Bible-centered, gospel-centered preaching on 88.9. Man, it's a blessing. We haven't always had good preaching, so. You say, man, I sure could use some good preaching. Well, bless your heart. And, you know, I hope you find it somewhere. So, anyway. Well, when you get saved, though, your heart changes. And it won't be. You know, I understand there's times we're all, you know, not where we need to be. But it shouldn't be that we're having to be dragged to church. You know, that just shouldn't be. If that's consistent in your... I mean, you know, there's occasions when Susie just has to literally... Okay, maybe not drag me to church, but, you know... she says, you're the preacher, you got to go. I know, but I just... those people don't like me. I'm kidding. But if it's consistent where you just don't want to be in church, there's something wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean you're lost, but it could mean that. But it means there's something wrong in your heart that you need to let the Lord take care of. There's sin in your life. There's something going on. Because when you're saved, you want to be hearing the Word of God. You want to be learning and growing and changing and you want to be challenged. Well, I was looking at a couple of scriptures. One is a scripture Chris shared with us this weekend in the retreat. It's from Psalm 119. And let me just read it to you. It shouldn't take long to read this psalm to you. And so, some of you young folks will remember a few years ago at camp, Keybone read this whole psalm. 176 verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing, okay? But he read the whole thing. It's good. All right. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I received in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And then Psalm 40 in verse 8. Psalm 40 in verse 8 gives us this little nugget. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You want to delight to do the will of God? It's going to require us to get the Word of God into our heart. You got to take it in. You got to get it in there. And you know what? Today we don't have much in the way of excuse. I mean, there have been times in history when Bibles were not available. In fact, there have been times in history when the church forbid people to read the Bible. As weird as that sounds, it's only for the priest. It's only for the, you know. Man, we've got the Bible today. Amen. Everybody here got a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, there should be some little red Bibles in the pew. Just grab you one and take it home with you. It's yours. Listen, we've got the Bible. I mean, I've got more translations of the Bible than I know what to do with. I can get on my phone. I can dial up the Word of God instantly. On my tablet, on my laptop, on my computer. I mean, we've got no excuses today. If your heart is there, if you want it, it's there for you. But get it in there. Take it in. Take the Word of God in. Let it begin to change you. Let it begin to mold you and shape you. And let me give you one more scripture. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. And this is one of those that, you know, the Bible just helps us. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You do not get this prosperity, this wonderful blessing of God upon your life, upon your marriages, upon your families, by binging on Netflix. You do not get this by spending countless hours on the internet. You do not get this by taking in all the entertainment and all the stuff of this world. You're going to get this through the Word of God. And the Bible says that this man delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. How we need to be in the Word of God. How we need to have it before us. I think we all want the blessing of God. I think we all want to enjoy what He has for us. But oh, listen. We've got to begin to take in the Word. And you say, well, you know, I think I'm getting it. I think I'm doing pretty good. Well, that's great. But I'm going to suggest to you, there's more there than what you've got so far. You know, there's something more that God wants to bring you into. So, some of us are going to have to say, you know, I'm really not consistent in this. And every now and then, I'll try, but then I forget. Or then I get up late and I lose my place and I get out of the habit and it's gone. I'm going to tell you. I kind of use this in Sunday school as well. But you know what? I don't think anybody's having to come alongside of you and force you to eat. Or at least all the ones of you that I've been around any length of time. I hadn't seen a problem there. Y'all seem to like to eat. Well, I do too. Man, it's awesome. It's a blessing. God's created some really good tasting stuff and fills your belly and makes you feel good. As long as you don't go overboard. You need to feed your soul, your spirit. It's hungry. Some of us is dried up and wasting away. It's weak. Psalm 119 said, how's a young man going to keep his way pure? Well, it's hiding the Word of God in his heart. You need the Word of God. So you say, well, I thought you said if we get saved, we're going to love the Word. We are. And so that's the key to this thing. You know, it's like when I met my wife. You know, when I met Susie, she wasn't my wife when I met her, but you know, started working on that pretty shortly after that. But when I first met her, you know, nobody had to tell me, now you need to talk to Susie today. You need to make sure you talk to her. I mean, we talked every day. And this was before cell phones. And I did fall asleep one night, you know, on the phone with my beloved. But we talked, and nobody forced me to do that. I wanted to do it. I was all about it. I was excited to. Well, man, when God puts a love for His Word in your heart, you want this. And yeah, it may be uncomfortable, or it may be a learning curve. It may be some things that you don't know where to start or how to do some things. But you want to get the Word of God in your heart. You want this. Well, I want to encourage you. This is not something that the preacher, you know, is going to have to stand over you and pound on you to do. This is something you're going to want to do. It's an evidence of your salvation. The disciples, those early disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, they didn't have the full Scripture that we have today. They had the Old Testament Scriptures, but the New Testament was, you know, it was still in the process of being lived out. So, all right. Well, the second thing that we see here, back in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. These folks had a love for the Word of God. They also had a love for the people of God. They had a love for the people of God. And I know somebody's going to say, yeah, but preacher, have you been around those people? And let me just say to you, I have. And we're all a little bit unlovable at times. Is that fair? We all have our moments. Some moments tend to last longer than others. But you know what? When you get saved, God puts a love for His people in your heart. You just have something there. And I've met people, you know, in a store or traveling or wherever. I've met somebody, and we'll get to talk and find out that they're a Christian, they're a believer. I don't mean they're just a, you know, nominal, you know, bench warming, you know, substitute for a Christian, you know, goes to church some. I mean, somebody loves Jesus and they're excited about the Lord. And it's a blessing when you meet somebody like that. It's awesome. And you just have an instant connection with them. And what I found is that when we get saved, sometimes we have a better relationship with church family than we do with our own family. And that's not, you know, that's, I mean, you know, we want to have good relationships with our real family, but man, what a blessing from God when He brings us and puts us in a group of folks. And I love the fact that our church is just kind of mixed up, and, you know, I mean, not mixed up spiritually, but just different people, just, you know, all different ages and people, you know, I mean, we got beards and we got streamline and, we, you know, we have a little bit of everything, and it's all good. And man, what a blessing, because we have little bitty ones, and we got old ones, and we need them all. You know, we need every age group and every, you know, So here's what happens here is that these people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And so I want to suggest to you, one of the failures of the modern church is that fellowship is a 2.5-minute segment of our service where we shake hands. And that's not the biblical... I mean, nothing wrong with it, okay? I mean, although in the first church I pastored, we actually did vote one time not to have fellowship. They moved it, somebody seconded it, and we passed that. We said, no, we're not going to have fellowship. Anyway, Lord deliver us from some of those things. Anyway, but we need time together. You know, that's one of the neat parts of our youth group. You know, the youth group, one of the reasons that works is because of the time factor. They come on Wednesday afternoon, and you know, we got kids who come on Wednesdays that don't even come on Sunday. Now, we've gotten, you know, some of those have started coming on Sunday, and it's awesome. And we're encouraging them, trying to get them. But, you know, one of the neat things about it is they're just coming and hanging out, spending time, and they're playing basketball, or they're, you know, just talking and visiting, whatever. But it's time. You know, when our men get together and do a project, you know, we've got our baptistry changing rooms just about completely finished up now. I mean, we're gonna dedicate those things. You know, the guys you who've worked on them. But the neat part about working together, it's not about, you know, how wonderful the job we do is, but it's about the time we spend with each other and the fellowship and sharing. And that's what this is about. These people were devoted, not just to coming to church and hearing the apostles preach, but they were devoted to spending time with one another and just loving on each other and talking and praying and, you know, encouraging and just being a blessing to one another. Well, I want to suggest to you, that is the single greatest need in our whole culture today. Because why? Because people are sitting in their houses and they've got their internet and they've got their, you know, their television packages and they've got all their entertainment and they don't know who lives next door to them. In a lot of cases. That's not always true out here in the country. Sometimes we, you know, we kind of do. But a lot of places, they don't even have a clue. And so what's happening is that people are isolated and they are cut off. You know, one of the things that we saw in the survey that we just did was that one of the things that people were kind of talking about was the fact that just having friendships, just having people to connect with, they don't have it. And sadly, even a lot of people within our churches really don't have. Because it can't just be within 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning. We're not going to get what we need in 1 hour a week. We need some time. So, you know, I want to encourage you. You say, well, boy, we need a new program. No, maybe call up a family and just say, hey, won't y'all come over Friday night or Saturday night? We'll grill some burgers or something, you know, and just have time together. You know, just reach out to some folks and invite a few families, or, you know, just do something. You say, well, can you do that? Yeah, I think you can. I think it'd be great. But let me encourage you in this. Don't just reach out to the one who's your best buddy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's fine. It's okay. But also reach out to somebody that maybe you don't know as well. You know? I mean, just pull people in. And they were devoted. They were strong on fellowship, on being together. And a couple scriptures. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so I know I've heard the stories too. I've lived a few of them. That church people can be the meanest people in the world. But it don't have to be like that. And it shouldn't be like that. It better not be like that. So there's a basis for fellowship. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14 says this. It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Well, what a blessing to know that when we come to Christ, God puts a love in our hearts for people. And so that's going to be there. Well, but then also we see in this passage, there's a passion to pray. God puts a love for the Word of God, a love for the people of God, but He also puts a passion in our heart for prayer. These folks were, man, they were devoted to praying. That was where this thing all started in chapter 1, was in prayer together. And they were unified, they were focused, and they were crying out to God. You know what would happen in America if Christians began to pray? And I mean, to some extent we pray, you know, we do. And we, you know, I think we try to make that an emphasis in our church, and hopefully it is, but I know that there's times when we don't pray nearly like we need to. And I think if we want to see God work in our families, in our church family, in our country, it's going to come through prayer. When you pray, you know, it's not you doing it, but God is changing the world when you pray. I mean, that's what happens. God is changing the world. And you may not feel like that's true, because you may pray about something and you just don't see an answer, you don't see an answer, you don't see an answer. Oh, listen. Keep on praying. It's too important. It's too needed, too necessary. But I think today what we've done is the church is, we've settled for playing at church. And, you know, I don't think we do this with our youth group, but a lot of youth groups, it's basically entertainment. They come and they entertain. And then they wonder why they walk away when they're 18, 19, 20 years old. And folks, what we need is, you know, we need to be praying. And if these things that we're mentioning, the love for the Word of God, a love for the people of God, a passion for prayer, if these are fingerprints that identify the church, then prayer is the little finger. But it shouldn't be. Well, but another thing that we see here in this passage, it says, verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul." There was, and the word here is you know, not just a fear, but it's a reverence, it's an awe. They had an awe of the activity of God. They were in awe of what God was doing. I don't see a whole lot of the awe factor today in church. I don't see a whole lot of just being in awe. Now, there is some. There occasionally we just see God move and we know it was God. But boy, we need that constantly. We need to be aware of His activity and what He's doing and what He has done. And then one more. It says, I mean, we could spend all day talking about this, but notice verse 44. It says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them as every man had need." They had a willingness to give. There was a willingness to give. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of the greatest needs for us as believers. Is not to own a bunch of stuff. Because usually when that happens, it ends up owning us. Now, it's not wrong to have stuff, okay? But we need to learn to give, just to be generous, just to give. And I mean, generosity doesn't begin with our tithe, you know. with that offering we give to the Lord, that 10%, that's the Lord's. That's not even our offering. That's His. That's the way I look at that. We ought to give that. But then beyond that, we ought to be giving. We ought to be generous. We ought to be willing. And, you know, and I appreciate this church. Y'all are. You know, we had a need this week. A lady was just upside down on her gas bill. And I mean, she was in a world of hurt. Elderly lady. And I just put it out there and said, you know, here's the need. And we had people respond. And thank the Lord. But folks, listen, when we see God moving, changing lives, saving souls, doing all these things, it's going to result in some activity within the church. It's going to result in some things, some distinctive things that are going to help us to know this is the hand of God in our church. You know, related to that last one, to giving, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to give you this scripture and we're done. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" How can we say that we have God's love in our heart when we see need and we're unmoved and we're not willing to help? Well, you know, the early church, they sold what they had. You know, it's interesting that that's the only time, the only place that that ever occurred. That didn't carry over to Antioch or to any other places that became the hub of the church. And some have said, well, that's a form of communism. No, it isn't, because it was totally voluntary. And communism is not. And people sold and gave and helped as they saw there was need. Well, I think most of us, we may not have a lot, but that's the neat part about being in the body of Christ, is that when we put our little in with what others can do, God can take it and do something good with it. So I want to encourage you. And some of you have a gift for giving. You know, you really do. And my old preacher used to say, he'd say, you know, God's got a bigger shovel than we do. You know, you shovel it out, He'll shovel it in. And He does. He can bless you, and He will. But look, even if you say, I don't have a lot, still look for those times and those ways that you can bless somebody. You can help meet a need. And, you know, you got to be careful. You got to be discerning, because there's a lot of needs that you're going to run into, you know, whether it's out the street corner down here somewhere, somebody begging, or somebody on TV begging. You got to be discerning, you know. But be generous, be willing to give and have a part. Well, these are just activities. These are just identifying marks that tell us, man, God's at work in our church, and so we want to see these things. And I thank God we do see. We do see them, you know. I'm sure we can improve on every one of them, but we do see some of those. So I guess this morning what I want to ask you is to think about for just this moment in your own heart, your own life. What's the identifying mark in your life? What is it that if we're going to pick out one thing and say, well, this is what Sheila is all about, this is what Meredith or John or Michael, this is what he is all about, this defines him, what would be that distinguishing mark, that characteristic? Because we all have some things. Well, I hope it would be some of the things of the Spirit, some of the works that God's doing in us. You know, I hope that would show up, definitely. But that's something that only you can really answer. So let's bow our heads and let's take this moment to pray and seek the Lord and ask Him to help us to hear anything He's saying to us, anything we need to address. It could be today that you're here, but you've never received Christ. You've been in church. You've been religious. Might be a member of the church. But you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. If you don't, I want to invite you today to go to the Lord in this moment. Say, "Oh God, I need You." Just tell Him in this quiet moment. Just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. But I don't want to be. Lord, I want You to save me. I want You to change me. Come into my life, Lord. Set me free today. I'm trusting in You, Jesus. I believe You died on that cross for my sin, and I believe You rose from that grave. And I ask You to fill my heart, my mind, my life with Your presence, with Your life." Tell Him, just from your heart. It's not certain words you say. It's the attitude of faith and of repentance, of wanting Him more than what you got now. And if you prayed that prayer, if you're praying that prayer, if you are receiving Christ today, I want to encourage you in a moment to come and share that with me. Because you need to share it. What God's doing in your heart. But there's some Christians here this morning, and maybe there's some of these marks that you feel like, you know, I don't feel like this one is strong in my life like it ought to be. I don't have a love for the Word of God like I should or like I once did. I don't have a passion for fellowship and love for the people of God like I need to. Or whatever it may be. Whatever it is, would you answer God's call in this moment? Would you humble yourself? Would you cry out to Him and say, "Oh God, I need You. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I've neglected Your work," or "I've neglected Your word. I've failed, Lord. I've put other things in front of You. Lord, I haven't meditated on Your word night and day. I've meditated on the things of the world. That's filled my heart. And I need You to change that, Lord." Tell Him. Father, I pray for every person here in this moment. Give them grace to cry out to You, to trust You. I pray You'll meet them where they are. I pray You'll change them. Bless them, Lord. And Father, for those who know You and who see something in their life that they need to do differently, something they need to change, there may be sin they need to renounce and turn from, but there may be something they need to begin to do. Lord, would You give them that first step? Would You show them that first thing that they can do to begin to live this out and to do what You're calling them to do?